Yeah, this is very interesting and for me, very, very beautiful because about 25 years ago now, I was taken into the unconscious and shown the shift in the archetypal world. And there used to be 7 major archetypes. And I was shown that they were reconstellating and they were coming together and in a different way. And they're coming together, out of their coming together, evoked this 8th archetype, which is always the symbol of the 2 worlds coming together, the 8. It was imaged as a child with stars in its eyes, but it was imaged as a space rather than a form, or a quality of being rather than a structure. And what was essential was that it was not born from the past, but born from the present. So it wasn't like something born out of this civilization or this era. It was born from the divine moment, born from the now. And it had this quality of joy that a child has, that just comes into the world and sees the magic and sees the life quality. And it was very, very beautiful, full of optimism. And then, in fact, when I started to get given these teachings about oneness in the year 2000, it had that same quality of joy, of magic, of tremendous possibility, of things that can happen that haven't been able to happen before. And I saw how we'd limited our consciousness. The new archetype is a possibility that is free of many of the restrictions of the past. And it also has a magic that enables things to happen in a way they have never happened before. It is alive in a completely new way, and is born not from the past, but from the moment that is outside of time and yet fully present, which is the divine moment. It's like we have forgotten that things can happen. We have a culture which is very much based upon effort. We live in this Newtonian consciousness. It's like you have to make an effort to do anything. And this is a life force or an energy that enables things to happen. It is like in its foundation, we've forgotten that life is alive. And we think we have to do everything. One of the things I was shown over the time is, you know, that like life is not a problem to be solved. We have this conditioning that there's a problem and we have to solve it. And it's much, much more magical than we have allowed it to be for a long time, that our rational consciousness has actually imprisoned life so that it has stopped being magical. When I was working with the archetypes, one of the things they showed me is because we have forgotten about them, they have receded back into the unconscious. And they are, of course, very, very magical and very powerful forces. We have kind of constricted them. For example, while I was taught about time and how we have constricted time, and so people now don't have enough time and they have schedules in which they put their events. Time is not supposed to be about that. Time is about the rhythm of our lives being in harmony with the rhythm of the tides and the seasons and the stars, and about an interrelationship between above and below. It is about, say, about rhythm and harmony. And that's just one example of how our consciousness has taken this archetype, which is some people call Saturn, which is time, and have constricted it. It has responded. There was a certain truth in Lewis Carroll and the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, because, you know, it's always 4 o'clock and he never has time to wash the dishes. The reason it's always 4 o'clock was because the Mad Hatter said he was going to kill time, and that we've actually constricted time. We've constricted this god, this archetype, and it has responded by constricting us. Yet you know, for example, from if you learn to work with time, time can change. Time can be actually quite fluid. Time can expand. Time can contract. One can go outside of time. One can go inside of time. It isn't the way we think it is at all now. There were many aspects of that, of how a completely new quality of consciousness can be given to us. And I suppose one of the advantages of doing mystical practice is you do go through inner transitions where you can awaken or access a different quality of consciousness that works completely differently and can affect your life. So your life comes to you or interacts with you in a very, very different way that you wouldn't have believed possible. So it is not so unbelievable that there can be a completely different way to live. And I had the good fortune when I was 18, I studied architecture. I studied with Keith Critchlow, and he kind of introduced us to the idea there was a civilization not so long ago that thought completely differently, that actually thought symbolically, in which the meaning of things was not their tangible value, but their symbolic energy that they held. And we even think that everybody has always thought the way that we think. And yet you only have to look at a culture like the Aboriginal culture in Australia that has a completely different quality of consciousness. I read recently somebody was explaining who studied their consciousness to see that the whole of their way of life and their attitude to everything is how to return to the original moment when things come into being. Our life or our collective ideology may be to accumulate things or to achieve or to progress spiritually, materially, while the whole of their consciousness is completely different, and their consciousness is about how can you take everything back? Can you always return to this original moment when life comes into being, when the song lines are born? It is such a different consciousness that we can't even imagine it now. I mean, how many of us at the back of our mind are thinking, well, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow, and what am I going to do the day after, and what's going to happen next week? And to realize there's a consciousness in which that doesn't exist. I'm always fascinated by cultures that have that different consciousness, like the sea gypsies off the coast of Burma, who don't have a word for time in their vocabulary and don't have a word for hello or goodbye in their vocabulary, and certainly don't have a word for worry in their vocabulary. People come, people go. They just don't have that consciousness that is so central to us. And that shows me there is a hope that we can actually have a completely different consciousness. And what I was shown in this archetype is that it's waiting for us, it's present, and it doesn't require effort. And it's a lot of fun. The other quality that came to me with that is an enormous amount of fun. And somehow we've stopped life being fun. We've stopped that magic of the extraordinary happening. If one has a new consciousness, then one will experience a very completely different world. And as I said, there seemed to be a possibility at one time of a new consciousness evolving out of this consciousness. And now it seems that possibility has passed, but there's going to be two stages at the same time. And it's like, where do you put your attention? Where are you? Are you prepared to welcome in this new quality of consciousness, this new archetype, which is tremendously alive, but not in a way that we can imagine? Because one of the sad things is that we can only imagine things with images of the past. Our mind only perceives with images of the past. So it's very difficult for us to welcome in something new.